Why don't we continue to wait on him for just a few more moments? Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's been good to catch up with my parents. They've been back for a few days, or I guess a couple weeks, and many of us have seen them already. I caught up on the testimony that they shared here on Wednesday, and we also spoke with them on we went out to dinner. You know, as you get older, for all the kids in the room, I'm just kidding, everyone here, everyone who has parents in the picture, you start to shift into more real talk, is what I'll call it. You know, when I was 12, when I was 10, 9, even, you know, there's pros and cons to it, 18, 17, your parents shelter you from a lot of things when they tell you. They might give you most of the picture, but you don't get everything. At a certain point in adulthood, you just get it straight, no filter. And some of it has to do with your past. And you say, wow, really? I wasn't uncomfortable during those years. I'm sorry that you went through that. You did a good job. Thank you. My point is that He equips you when he calls you. He equips you for what he's called you to. Big or small, daily or something that's long-term, short-term or long-term, or whatever it might be, whatever he's called you to in your life, in this season of your life, today, during worship, whatever he's spoken into your spirit, whatever seeds that have been planted into you, he will equip you for that. Even though your circumstances don't, you know, might not add up. Let's put up 1 Thessalonians, if you could put that up in the back. Chapter 5, verse 24. It's a short verse. We're just going to read this real quick, and then I have another passage I'll read through later. Let's all read this together. Can we do that? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's read that one more time. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I need this reminder in my life. The Lord illuminated this to me this morning, and as a service went on and as the songs went on, he took me back to this this word that he stirred up in my spirit earlier this week, actually last week, in study, that I want to share with you today. It's about the word create. And I was reading another scripture, actually Isaiah 43, and we'll pull that up in a moment. And I feel like it's for today. It's for us in this room. It's for every individual in this room today, no matter what walk of life you're in right now. It's for all of us. It has to do with the word create. So I noticed a pattern in this passage. In, if we could pull it up, actually, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And we'll read this again in a bit. But what popped out to me is that he says two things. He says, the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. He's referring to both. He's referring to the same group of people, but he's calling them Jacob in one sense, Israel in another. Interesting. Now, we know that one has to do with the name they were given, the name that they were created with, and then the name that the Lord formed them into, the process. One speaks to the beginning, and one speaks to the process. Okay, so let's read this again. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee. That's the other thing that popped up to me. Why does he say, now thus saith the Lord that created thee, and he that formed thee. Everyone say formed. Formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I believe the Lord, and I don't know how long I'm going to take, but the Lord wants to remind someone today that he's not only created you, he's also forming you. And this is where you need to be. You need to be in both places. Have understanding of both things. So I looked at the words. Are there differences? Did the Bible just use the same Hebrew word twice and decide to say, let's go with create on one side and formed. Let's use formed. No. Here's the study, and I'll read this real quick. Two different Hebrew words are used in the Genesis account for the means by which God caused things to exist. Bara is the first. The second one is yatzar. The Hebrew word bara represents an act only God can accomplish. Creating, creation. It is the solely divine act by which God creates something from nothing. So that's the first one, bara. Second one, yatzar. The Hebrew word yatzar, often translated formed, can represent a thing formed from previously existing materials. Often used in reference to the process by which God brought forth man. Okay, so I looked at Genesis 1 and took a look at this. So God created man in his own image, bara. Let me remind you, that is a solely divine act that only he can accomplish. Only he can create in that way. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. He's saying it again, bara. Male and female, he created them. Bara. Genesis 2:7, just a little bit further down. Then the Lord formed yatzar. Formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. Then the Lord formed yatzar. Then the Lord formed man. So he created us, and then it also says he forms all of us. I want to remind someone in this room today that you have not just been created. The word in your life, the word in your situation, whether it was from a long time ago, there might be people in this room who haven't stepped foot in a church building in a while, and you might remember that the Lord tugged on your heart a while ago, several years ago, a decade ago, two decades ago, whatever it is. But the Lord, let me remind you today that God can quicken a word in your heart, a word in your life, a word in your spirit. He can quicken it. He creates something out of nothing, and then he forms it. He forms and fashions it like a potter with clay. He takes his hands and he molds it, he breaks it, he shapes it. That's what he does with us. That's what he does with our life. That's what he does with our situations. That's what he does with the callings that he's put on our lives. Jesus. Can we pray for a moment? Come on, whatever it is. The Lord's speaking to someone today. Let your process play out, Father. Whatever it is that you're trying to bring to light in my mind, in my spirit, whatever it is that you're trying to capture today, Jesus, whatever it is that you're trying to break, Father, that you're trying to bring to my attention, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we wait upon you, Father. Okay, so Isaiah 43. Isaiah is it's a great book. It's often split into three parts. It's the first 39 or 40 chapters are the prophet Isaiah rebuking the people of God saying, hey, your iniquities, your idolatry, all of these things, something's going to happen because of all these things. And then from 40 and on, it's while the children of Israel are suffering the consequences, Judah is sent into exile by Babylon. They're sent out of their lands. They're somewhere else. And Isaiah writes to them with the words from the Lord through these chapters. And at the very end, he talks, this is post-exile. And then he begins to prophesy about the coming of the Messiah. So chapter 43 of Isaiah, he is in the middle of exile. That's why I said all those things. We are reading a letter from God to his people, to his nation, to people who he called. He says it right there. I have called you by your name. And so here's what I feel for today. We're reading God's words to people in this room, to people in this church. And remember, because of that first section, you know, he's dealing with people who have messed up, lived in disobedience, or in my mind, as I read through it, it's really just they were disobedient. You know anyone that's disobedient in your life? Parents. All the parents are like, yeah, I do. I have a 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old. That matters at this age, I think. I don't know. Because he becomes more 2 every day. I don't know what it is. But my 2-year-old, yeah, I think he has good intentions most of the time. Like most of the time, he has great intentions. He really tries. But he's also 2. So at the end of the day, you know, if certain factors and variables in the day, like when he's had his last meal or last nap, that's a big one, depending on all those things, he could, that will really sway whether he's obedient or not. The way he responds to mommy or daddy saying, hey, do this, or hey, come here. Those other factors really, really play a part. So the children of Israel were disobedient, but I don't think that it was intentionally, just looking through it. It wasn't all intentional, at least. They were dealing with a lot of things. There were nations all around them, Assyria, Babylon, and some of these other nations, Persia, that came along a little bit later. Just pressure from all different sides. The circumstance of this situation, and also the infighting between Israel and Judah, 2 separate nations, and all of these factors lead up to drama, stress, maybe financial issues. I don't know what it is, but it just sounds like one big storm. Sounds like adulthood. It sounds like just living life. All of these things from all around. And the children of Israel were disobedient consistently. But still, everyone say, but still, God saw them as his people. And so this is God's letter, God's words. These are God's words to people who were disobedient, to his children who were disobedient, but he still knew that he had a plan for them, and he still wanted to encourage them. He still wanted to take him through it. These are his intentions and his plans through all of that. Okay? But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Let's go to the next verse. This is to someone in this room, by the way. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shalt the flame kindle upon thee. Verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Don't stay back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And this is the last one. Even everyone that is called by my name. Interesting choice of words here. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Let me remind someone in this room today. Maybe this is just for one, two, several individuals here, or maybe it's for many. But he has created you. He's called you by your name. He's speaking to an entire nation, but he says, I have called you individually by your name. I created you for my glory. The word that I put in your heart, it was a divine act. No one could have done it except for me. I created you. I made something out of nothing. And on top of that, I'm forming you. Yes, I have made you. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that someone would recognize, God, the divine act that you put on their life, Jesus. The divine act that you that took place, Father. That your hands made come to pass, Jesus, in their lives, Father. And that we would recognize, Father, that it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with the miracle. It doesn't end with you providing. It doesn't end with the thing that you made come to pass, Father. But you are forming us. You are forming us, Father. You have plans for me, Jesus. You have a process in mind, God. This isn't the end, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Someone begin to claim it. Begin to claim it. Begin to pray with authority right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Keep praying. Keep praying. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itara robo shetia tara bahaye. Itala la masa tororo bahataye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Can you go back to verse 1 real quick? 43 and 1. I'm not going to take a long time here. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. This is the struggle and the calling. He, everybody say he. Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say the Creator. He created me, Jacob. This is the struggle. You see, some of you are hung up on your calling because there's a lot of Jacob in you, the supplanter, the deceiver. Not, hopefully, there's not a bunch of deception in you. I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about our makeup. He created me with flesh. He created me, Nick. I can't change that. I am who I am. I can get hung up on that. I can discount myself because of that. I can check out of the process, and I can decide that, you know what? God can never use me. I know you've called me by my name, but you also created me, Jacob. You created me with all these failures. You created me with all these mistakes. The prophet said that the same God who created you, Jacob, also formed thee as Israel. He created you this way, with this nature. There's a sin nature that exists in me. I can't help it. He was describing his 2.5-year-old. I'm in the same season of life, and I realized that my children were created with a sin nature. I didn't teach them how to lie. Did you do that? Nope, wasn't me. We didn't have lying classes in our house. We didn't start disobedience classes. It just happened. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother." That's how I was made. He created me, Jacob. But thank God today, He's in the process of forming me into Israel. The same God that created Jacob could look past the deception and the supplanting and say, "But I have formed thee, and I am forming thee into what I want you to be." I've come to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, He sees the future. He sees the future. You see right now. You see your shortcomings. You see yesterday's mistakes. You see this morning's failures. That's okay. He sees Israel. Can you go back to Genesis 35 real quick? This was the transformation that began to happen. You see, there's not a person in this room. Hear me right now. There's not a person under the sound of my voice right now. No matter how new, old, young, whatever you consider yourself in God, that isn't in the formation process. Jacob was running from his brother because of Jacob. Because of how he worked a scheme and supplanted his brother and deceived his father and got the birthright, so he lived his life on the run. And did you know that in every footstep of running for the Jeremy, God was forming. He was forming. Every dream, every vision, everything that happened was part of God forming him from Jacob into Israel. Every mistake. God said one day unto Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." Verse 2. I'm going to read through about 6-7 verses here. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean. Change your garments." This was the climax of the formation process of Israel. Up until this time, he was what he was created. He was Jacob. He couldn't help it. All he did, that sin nature ruled and reigned in his life. But then in a moment of time, there was a word. Just like the word that's come forth in this room today. There was a word that said, "Jacob, go back to Bethel. And I want you to build an altar unto God." Berglund, I had a Bible study a couple weeks ago with the man, and he began to talk about this whole process of God and Allah.
and all these things. And I went back and I pulled from that Bible study that you taught us a few years ago of how throughout the process of time in the Old Testament that they lost sight of who God was. And so he just became a god. And if you go back and you read this in verse 2, he says, this is the God. Make an altar to the God that met you. He's gotten so far away. There's some of you today, you feel so disconnected from God. You feel so disconnected from the process. He got so disconnected that when the word of God came to him, he couldn't even say, hey, it's me, Jacob. It's me, hello. He says unto the God that presented himself to you, you begin to run from Esau. He's reminding him, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm forming you, Jacob. This is part of me forming you. Verse 4. They gave to Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak tree which was by Shechem. Verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is in Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakluth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. We get to see firsthand this formation process, where God begins to deal with Jacob about things in his life and family. Jacob's like, hey. Everybody, put word out. Get rid of all the strange gods. He'd gone after all these other things and all these other distractions in life. Call of God didn't stop because of that. Call of God was still there. He was still wanting to form Jacob into who he wanted him to be. Telling you that same formation process is at work in the kingdom of God. It's at work in the body of Christ, and it's at work in this room today. And the Holy Ghost is trying to help somebody today stay committed to the formation process. He's reminding somebody that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day that he comes. Would you stand all across this room today? I don't believe that God's going to change my name today. I don't think I'm going to become Israel. My parents gave me my name. Can't change that. I mean, I could. It's a process. It is what it is. Can't change who I am. I can't change how my parents raised me. They raised me well. They instilled a lot of good things in me. Can't change any of that. I can try. A lot of people try to change a lot of things in their lives. I have a sister who's got a master's degree in psychology. She's filled with the Spirit of God. She's not in truth at this juncture, but she made a statement to me not long ago. She said, you know, psychiatrists can't change anything. She says they can try to help talk you through things, give you somebody to talk to, and they're trained to try to help you process through stuff, but they can't change anything. She said, truly only the power of God can change a person. There's a lot of people that try to change their Jacob, and they're on their own, in their own strength, they're trying to change Jacob. In lieu of settling with the fact that he created me with this, there's a sin nature in me, and I need his grace every day to live a life above sin. But in that same process of grace, there's a formation process going on. And he is forming me into what he wants me, because not only does he see me as who I am today, but he sees me as who he wants me to be. He sees me as that person who's called. Same one who created me, it's called me. The same one who sees my failures has called me. He's chosen me. Do you understand that today? I'm not here today trying to earn my way through a bunch of failures into some sort of acceptance. He's accepted me. Why don't you lift your hands all over this room today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I yield myself to the formation process. I yield myself to the forming of your plan and your will in my life, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're going to sing here and we're going to worship and I'm going to open this altar. We're also going to have a baptism here in a few minutes. There's a few folks whose sins are going to be washed away and they're going to come up in newness of life. And they're going to begin a new process in Jesus today. If you're one of those people, I'm going to ask you to slip out and get ready to get baptized. And for the rest of us, I'm opening up this altar. They're going to come back and join us in a few moments, but I'm going to open up this altar today. And if you feel the tugging of the Spirit of God upon your heart, I desire to be formed in you, Jesus. I'm opening this altar to you. I recognize you created me in one way, but Father, there's a formation process that you're trying to get me to. You're wanting to be formed in me, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I yield myself to that process right now. I yield myself to that purpose right now in the name of Jesus.
I have this confidence because